going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You probably saw your first bullies as a child on the playground. They were there in grade school, whether they bothered you or others. And just when you thought dealing with bullies was over, they show up on your job. What does that look like? And who are these people? And how do you deal with them? Well, we'll answer those questions and much more tonight as we talk about bullies in the workplace. My guests are Dr. Mildred Payton. She is a workplace bullying expert, and attorney Donald Temple. If you have a comment, if you have a question or something you would like to share with us regarding bullies on the job, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Donald and Dr. Payton, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Let me start with you, Dr. Payton. Define workplace bullying.
Workplace bullying is basically a behavior that's carried out by either an individual or a group of people. And basically what that looks like is some sort of a deliberate act when you're targeting someone for reasons that are either personal or professionally. For example, it could look like excessive scrutiny. You could be either being targeted to be humiliated or shouting and making threatening remarks, and just treating someone unfairly, again, because you're using your position or your title to intimidate someone or to make someone less than you.
What is the difference between someone who is trying to make sure, like your boss, who's trying to make sure that what he or she has asked you to do is correct, professional, exact, and someone who is bullying you?
The difference is when you have a boss or a leader who is trying to make you do your work, there is constructive criticism. You know, you don't go out of line by trying to belittle someone or talk down to them or threaten them to get the work done. There are ways you can have your subordinates or your staff get the work done and be productive without abusing your position, without abuse of power. So the difference is one is constructive criticism and support and encouragement, and the other is just you're trying to dominate. You're trying to belittle or devalue the person because you are above them. So just for those simple reasons, is one is for great cause, and the other is excuse me, and the other is just simply because, again, of your position, and you feel that you have a right to do so because of your title.
So let me give you two extremes, because it would seem to me that culture probably has a great deal to do with how bullying is perceived. It's one thing if you work for Facebook and they allow you to ride your skateboard in the conference room and show up in T-shirts and shorts and sneakers. And it's another thing if you perhaps work for, you know, Xerox or IBM, where there's kind of a standard uniform. And then there's another thing when you're in Marine Corps boot camp, where there's a lot of yelling and crying and mud. And so Can all of those kinds of different cultures and how you interact, can those different environments define how people interact? I mean, you could consider one bullying and another, you know, a loosely defined workplace.
Well, that's the thing. When we talk about workplace culture, we have to understand what that looks like. Every organization has its standards and its expectations. But when we bring bullying into it, no matter what environment or culture you're part of, bullying is bullying. The definition of bullying is you're intentionally trying to belittle someone. You're trying to harm the person. So it's a malicious behavior to cause harm to someone. So whether you're working at Facebook or IBM or wherever have you, it's bullying. It's wrong no matter what environment you're in. Because again, if you're going out of your way to purposely trying to harm someone, sabotage them, devalue them, or belittle them in any kind of way, in such a condescending way, then it's considered bullying, and it shouldn't be tolerated in any environment whatsoever.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about workplace bullying, how to identify it, how to address it. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Donald, as a sage attorney, you have seen various and sundry workplaces and have your own. Could it be argued that workplace bullying is a relatively new thing, or are we just more sensitive to these issues in trying to create a much more a pleasant place to work?
Well, I don't think it's new. I think it's dated, antiquated, but mm-hmm. I think the laws have developed a heightened sensitivity
yeah.
to it because of the crossover from the patterns of discrimination. And this workplace bullying and discrimination sometimes are integrated into the same behavior. But workplace bullying represents two levels of personal bias. It's that residual kind of bias where you never know. And I would say I would probably look at it on a case-by-case basis, Harold. The environment, the chain of command, who a person is, where they went to school, sexual preference, all those things, race, nationality, come into play. But I have seen it in litigation, and usually when we see it, we're seeing it because it's connected to something else.
Mm-hmm. How should you deal with this, Dr. Payton, when you first encounter something from perhaps a coworker or a boss where they may say something that makes you feel as if you are bullied? And is that the same thing as someone making you feel just uncomfortable?
Yes, it's the same in a sense that, especially if it's become a pattern, someone making you feel uncomfortable, singling you out and isolating you for whatever reason is a problem, especially when you're in a group setting. The first time I actually experienced this was well before I even recognized it as bullying, but I knew something was wrong. It was a time where we were at a staff meeting, and the administrator at the time took it upon herself to single me out and mention something to the sort where she was trying to identify some things that were going on in the office, and rather than just making a blanket statement, a general comment, she was going down the list, naming, she was calling people's names in front of everyone, and I knew then that was inappropriate, not only as a leader, but just in general. You don't single someone out and trying to make it a joke in front of everybody else. And clearly, it was so inappropriate that one of the other supervisors stepped in and said, "Hey, this is not the place for that." And the very next day, after I thought about it, you know, I sent an email. I said, you know, I really didn't like, you know, what was said and what you did. I would, you know, really appreciate if you don't do that again. An apology would be great. So eventually she came to my desk a few days later, and she did mention that, you know, she was sorry and she didn't mean to do so. But again, this is a pattern of this individual where she would mention certain things that are inappropriate about specific workers. But I believe I was the only one that spoke out. And because I recognized the behavior as inappropriate and it wasn't the right place for that. So, yes, to your question, that if someone makes you feel uncomfortable and becomes and it looks as if it's going to become a pattern, yes, it could lead to bullying.
So here's a question for both of you, and Dr. Payton, I can start with you. I'm assuming in the example that you used, that this was this a supervisor or was this someone who was a colleague or what?
It was an administrator.
It was an administrator.
Yes.
Because one of the things that I think we may have seen, and some of them may have been, you know, over dramatized in movies and the like, but in other times, in modern politics where you may have a mayor or a governor or a president and he or she is there with their cabinet and they are calling people out because the snow was not shoveled or it was not removed to make sure that the streets are. And so, you know, Mr. Fisher, you are in charge of the Department of Public Works, and I want that snow removed. Is that bullying?
Not necessarily. As I said, you look at it case by case. You certainly look at the environment. Let me say that they're going to be tough bosses mm-hmm. and tough managers with high expectations. And I think the key is that they could be equal a-holes to everybody. You understand what I'm saying?
Thank you.
And that's the reality. I mean, and so there are yardsticks, there are personnel manuals, employee handbooks, company brochures, and human resource kind of guidelines. But when a person isolates a person and it's reflected in the communication they have with the person, it's reflected in the harshness of evaluations and the comments associated with evaluations. And this is something that happens every day. It's two people that really, you see, set this person in a superior position and can affect a person's workplace. They don't like them. They may not like that they're pretty. They may not like that they're a Q or an AKA or whatever have you. And it's not necessary. It can also be very intraracial. I represent a local union here, and some in D.C., you would be surprised at some of the tensions that exist intraracially among black women. And most of the women that I see in the workplace who are affected in the workplace are sisters being affected by relationships with other sisters. And some of the issues are very, very trivial and difficult to settle. And that's mm-hmm. a key word. Mm-hmm. You know, and the question is why? Why is this person doing this? And the response is going to be from my people, excuse me? Did this just happen? Mm-hmm. You know, is that ridiculous?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dr. Payton, you're nodding your head.
Yes, I agree with everything he's saying. As I mentioned, the ministry at the time was a female. It was a woman. And, you know, I couldn't understand at first, but I think what happened was after I spoke on that, I mentioned that, you know, trying to single me out in a meeting was inappropriate. It became clear to me from that very moment that I was pretty much on her blacklist. So it's like from that moment, I was not able to further my career in the organization. I could not move from point A to point B. So the same position I was in when I started when I had my bachelor's coming into the organization is the same position I stayed in until I completed my PhD. So it's like I was held back in my career. I was blackballed for speaking out because one thing that was made clear to me behind closed doors by some people was that, oh, you know, she doesn't forget, right?
Hmm.
You know, she's hard to beat, right? So it's like, it's very clear that she, a lot of people, if not even in the county, but a lot of people knew that she was someone who was, you know, of some sort of authority figure that people did not challenge. So in my head, I'm thinking, well, I have the right to say to speak up for myself. I have the right to question something if you know, that doesn't seem right, especially if I'm being overlooked for promotional opportunities over and over. And I question, hey, you know, what's going on? How come, you know, I wasn't selected or, you know, what can I do better? But in that case, it's like, who are you to question? You mm-hmm. cannot question. And if you do question, it's like you're retaliating against.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about workplace bullying tonight. How to identify it? Where does it come from? And what to do about it? Anita, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Anita. What's on your mind?
I was just wanting to say, I think a lot of times if we make this more of an issue just to speak on it, we'd be educated. I am bullied. I'm currently bullied all the time. And I find out, I work for the state of Maryland, and I found out through studies that average state employee and supervisors and managers are high school education, and that's all they know. So it's their mentality, where they come from. I've been told I'm not black. Anything to exclude me out because it's your makeup and where you come from. And it's hereditary from generation to generation. But if we educated more, I had to go 20 years and didn't know I was being bullied. I just knew I was being treated ignorantly. I can't relate to this because I wasn't raised like that. But I think if we speak on it more and educate more, we can see it and we'll know how to handle it. We have to find a job. We have to work. But if we have to be there, we'll be educated and know how to handle these low mentality people. No offense to anybody. I'm just calling a spade a spade. That's all I wanted to say.
There was a bit of shade there, I suspect, but Anita, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You wanted to say something real quick?
Thank you, Anita. I just wanted to say that I don't think the burden should be on the employee who is generally the victim. I think that the governments, whether it's state or local, I think that the corporations, if we're talking about productivity, one of the most ridiculous things is to have somebody in a bullying situation or have these contamination-driven, toxic managers who, for years, you know, it's just ridiculous. So I think the city, be it the District of Columbia, Prince George's County, they need to step up their game on this issue.
Okay, thank you so much for that. I'm going to let you respond to what Anita shared with us on the other side of the break, Dr. Payton. We're also going to talk to Tiffany, calling from Maryland, Mary, calling from Suitland, Twanda, also calling from Maryland. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about workplace bullying. Of course, we will continue to take your phone calls even after 7:30. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. We will take as many as we possibly can. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown, and she's next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about workplace bullying. What is it? How do you address it? My guests are Dr. Mildred Payton. She is a workplace bullying expert, and attorney Donald Temple is talking about your rights as it relates to workplace bullying. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go back to the phone lines, Dr. Payton, Anita made a couple of pointed comments. Your thoughts about what she was sharing with us?
She mentioned about being bullied in the sense where it could happen because of your background or your affiliation with organizations or so forth. And I do think that that is accurate. People can bully you for many different reasons, whether, again, it's the way you look, your level of education, your race, your religious beliefs. So for me, my only understanding is I was one of the youngest in the organization at the time. So it could have been an age situation there where, you know, who is this young person, you know, who doesn't have much work experience or so forth, that is telling me how I should behave or what I should say in a meeting. So that could have been my issue right there. But I know, again, the person who was pretty much the main culprit or the bully, in a sense, is someone that a lot of people were afraid of. They were intimidated by. And it's almost as if she took pride in this. She took pride in people being scared of her, because there were times where she will be entering the office and everyone is scrambling to the desk like, oh my gosh, she's coming. And I said, well, wait a minute, we are grown adults here, we're doing our job, we're entitled to our breaks, we can talk to one another, you know, from time to time during our break. So why is everyone scrambling and acting so scared? Everyone deserves to, you know, be treated fairly and with mutual respect.
I can probably hear in my head the Wicked Witch of the West theme, da 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 da, when she comes in the room, because something you said earlier that's kind of struck me, where, and I would imagine these are some of the characteristics of a bully, no matter where they are. You said The bully is hard to beat and doesn't forget.
Yes, yes. And piggybacking on that doesn't forget part, it was clear to me, especially shortly after she retired, I was contacted by one of the HR manager at the time. I had previously put in a position for a project manager or so. And even though she had retired and she was expecting to come back as a consultant part-time, I was called by the HR manager at the time, who I was very, I knew her very well. I was in the same committee with her. And she said, you know, I saw that you applied for this position, but you know such and such makes the decision. And I said, okay, I understand. Thank you for letting me know that. And I was getting ready to get off, so, you know, I didn't really have time to go into that. I was just thinking about getting off, getting my kids from daycare. And I thought about it. I said, well, why should she still have any say over, you know, who's getting promoted or not when she's already gone? Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if her legacy continued.
Interesting.
So that made it very clear that this is the culture. This is what they stand for.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tiffany calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Tiffany. What's on your mind?
Hello. Okay. So I want to say that this is actually ironic that night, because I literally was just having this conversation with someone earlier. I have been working for a company for 8 years, and I was a union steward there for at least 5. I have been letting the union know about a particular manager for some months now, you know, leading by intimidation and bullying. Long story short, I was recently let go of this job after 8 years out of retaliation for me exposing discrimination. The manager, we all had a meeting. This is in front of the whole floor. We all have a meeting in front of the floor. The manager says that she wants to launch an incentive for people that work 120 hours a month, because she feels that people that have FMLA was an attendance problem.
FMLA?
FMLA, so family medical leave.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She feels that that's an attendance problem. So in the middle of the floor, in front of all witnesses and everything, mm-hmm. when she rolls out this incentive, I explained to her, I said, well, you can't roll out an incentive of that nature, because there are people that have limitations that limit them from being able to work that number of hours a month.
Let me ask you this, Tiffany, before we get too deep into the weeds. What is the outcome of where you're? You said you were let go. What would be the best outcome for you after this? Have you moved forward with something else, or have you moved on to another job?
Mentally, I have moved on. However, the union has since filed a grievance. I've also filed a complaint with the Department of Human Rights. To be perfectly honest with you, the way that some of the departments are managed within that company, I cannot say that I would want to expose myself to such a toxic or unsafe environment again. Would I take another position within that company, you know, to continue to excel? Absolutely. I mean, you know, the company itself, I won't say is a bad company. I will say that the management team that I was under completely needs to be revamped. And this particular manager has had grievances filed against her.
Well, let me stop you there and see what my experts have to say about that. Because I think she was able to well define what the issue was. But the next question is, what do you do about that? Whether you have been fired or you're still in the job, Donald.
Well, as in any workplace situation, the first thing you do is document. And you memorialize. And I say you memorialize on two different sides. One is on your own personal notes, but also you can do it, and you should do it through correspondence up through your chain of command or whatever your handbook or employee manual says. But once you do that, and whether you have a union or not, I think that you have to see what protocol exists for you to begin to challenge the behavior. The worst thing, I think, is to let it go on and on and on and on like a cancer. It becomes malignant. And so you challenge it. I don't know about this young lady in terms of the dynamics. I'm familiar with the collective bargaining process. And it depends on the facts. She talked about Family Medical Leave Act. There might be some Family Medical Leave Act retaliation issues there. I don't know. But you should consult, and I would say you should consult your HR people, but sometimes they're part of the problem because they're so passive. And if so, you got to document. There's situations I'm hearing where people know that they're bad people. You have to expose companies in different ways. And where litigation is appropriate, sometimes you got to take it to the mat if there is a basis to litigate. Mm-hmm. And that depends not whether, because one thing we got to be clear about, you can't file a lawsuit against somebody because they bully you, because of personal conduct, yelling, screaming, et cetera, et cetera. There has to be an actual basis for a lawsuit in workplace, and generally that consists of whether it's a violation of human rights, whether it's a violation of the general race, national origin, et cetera, et cetera, and then the corresponding retaliation associated with that. So when you have that, and this is a danger, and I'm not saying that to promote lawyers, I'm certainly not promoting the issue of litigation, but I think that you should consult with counsel. I just did a lecture to employees. When you start a job, you should retain counsel probably just for some small retainer. So when you pick up the phone, because you can make a decision that can hurt you. Mm-hmm. In terms of not knowing what you should know. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think.
Your thoughts, Dr. Payton, about what Tiffany was saying about her situation.
Yes, one thing that stood out to me is she mentioned that she would remain in the company if there's room for growth. And that's great. Again, it's case by case. But in my case, what I had to do was there was no room for growth. And I knew that it was this culture was so embedded in this organization that they weren't going to change, because clearly it's a behavior that has been accepted for years, well before I came on board. And so I had to leave because I knew that it wasn't great for my well-being. And I knew there was so much more I could do in the outside, from the outside, than I would be able to do in the inside. So I feel that it is up to the individual to decide whether or not they can remain in such an environment. And if you do decide to stay there, do look for different avenues that will be more beneficial to you and not weigh you down and carry that burden of being bullied.
Okay. Tiffany, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Twanda calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Twanda. What's on your mind? Twanda, are you there? Give me a call back, Twanda, if you can. You were about to say something, Donald.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the other thing, too, is when you get in these environments, it's good to have some type of mentor in the workplace. Somebody in the higher chain of command, before you go hard, go soft.
And by that, what do you mean by that?
And by that, I mean is that somebody you can talk to so you can get a translation of what's going on, an objective translation, an objective, because this is a kind of a workplace cryptogram. There are things happening all over the place. You got to sort it out. You can get it from your peers. But it's good to have somebody in the chain of command, somebody up the upline that you can talk to softly and say, hey, look, I'm having a problem. I just came to you trying to figure it out. I want to do what's best for the company, for the entity, the agency. And you might get a better push on that. And it might be a situation where you can nip it in the bud. At least it's a record. And then you can make a note. I met with so-and-so. And I discussed this. And you can follow up with an email. Hey, thanks for the meeting. I appreciate it. So you have a record. People lie. They forget, but you got to keep making that record. And the hard side is that if you can't resolve it softly, then you had to take other action.
But and to that point, Dr. Payton, when you are going to human resources, you know, one of the things that Donald said a while back was human resources, let's just say, human resources is often not a human resource that you want to go to, because often they represent the company. They don't represent you. They are often, depending on the title of that human resources officer, they are close to the management. If the problem is with management and not a coworker, they may be close to the management that you have a problem with. And you want to keep your job. You like your job. You don't like the way that you're being treated. So how do you tell the bully to stop bullying you if the person who is supposed to be objective is running interference for the bully?
That's the problem. So when you cannot seek any internal help or support, then you have to consider external resources. If, for example, you work with a federal agency, you can look into the Employee Assistance Program, which is a counseling services supposed to be confidential, to kind of give you some advice and guide you through what the next best step is, allow you to just kind of put things in perspective and understand what's really going on and what you should do. You can also look into the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission with the EEOC and try to obtain some information from them, those representatives. So you can also, again, you can seek out external services when the problem is from inside, where when you're not able to make any type of change or get any type of support that you may need.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Lamont, who just called in. We're going to find out what he has to say. And if you have any other comments or questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Workplace bullies, how to identify and address the issue. We'll be 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is the Inside segment on Sirius XM, channel 141. We are talking about bullying in the workplace. Lamont, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah. I was working construction, and I just got terminated because of the fact this guy wanted to bully his way with me primary every day. Every day was something going on, and I thought we had a talk with the superintendent to basically let him know what was happening. So the last day when he decided to bully me in a way where I supposed to have been checking in the trucks, the dump trucks that coming in as a load, I was letting him know the last dump truck hadn't returned yet. So as he asked me for the clipboard, he tried to snatch the clipboard out of my hand, and I refused to let him snatch the clipboard out of my hand. So as I walked around to his truck on his side, the passenger side, to give him the clipboard and let him know what happened, he was telling me, get my SOB down to the other side of the job and go work with the other guys. You know, I don't need you standing up here, just standing here. I'm saying I'm waiting for the truck like you asked me to do.
Let me stop you there for a minute, Lamont, because one of the things that I think we need to be clear about is you can have somebody. Is every person who is rude to you on the job a bully, or are they just rude?
Well, I
was asking Dr. Payton, actually, but
it's not necessarily identified as, you know, being a bully. What we have to understand is being a bully is a repetitive behavior. It's the bully's main purpose is to harm you. It becomes a pattern or a habit where they're specifically targeting you to devalue you, to bring you down. So if it's a one-time offense, it's not necessarily considered a bully. If you happen to be a rude individual, you're just a rude individual. But when that goes on into trying to purposely trying to harm the person, and that's your mission is to sabotage or just ruin the person, whether it's mentally or physically in any kind of way, then that is considered bullying.
So and to piggyback on that, I'm just wondering, if you have a tough boss, and your tough boss is consistently tough, and that's having an emotional impact on you, a detrimental emotional impact on you. Are you being bullied?
Not if they're an equally tough boss
with
technically.
Everyone.
I mean, and he could be bullying every, or she could be bullying everyone, and it may be their style. We can look at some people in leadership positions in this country, and I think that they're probably bullying the hell out of people that they work for at a very high level, you know, and that's the way some people get their productivity. But if it's disrespectful, if it's violating people's humanity, if it's offensive to the core of a person, certainly in this young man's situation, Lamont, there are other things to look at. How long did Lamont work there? Did this person write them up for discipline before? Did he feel it was unjust? Is it consistent, the level of pervasiveness and consistency? There are other things that come into play. What the rules are? Is there other people that he's doing this to? What are the race dynamics here? You know, age dynamics. So that's pretty much the deal.
Lamont, thank you for sharing with us. I appreciate your phone call. So, you know, Dr. Payton, beyond what we've been able to identify and continuing along the thought process of before you go to HR, should you talk to the person that you believe is bullying you? Is it possible that that person does not know? Or what if someone comes to you and says, you know, Dr. Payton, you're bullying me when I'm trying to get the files in the office right. Both of those. How should you address it if you need to talk to someone or if somebody talks to you about it?
When it comes to addressing the issue and confronting your bully, it's case by case, and you have to use your discretion. If you feel as though a person is going to be receptive to what you're saying to them and they're going to take in what you're telling them in a constructive way, then yes, you do want to make it very clear to the person that, you know, hey, you're crossing some boundaries here. You said something that didn't make me feel comfortable. The same thing like I did when I was addressed in a certain way during that meeting. I let it be known that, you know, I don't appreciate it. It didn't feel right. It was inappropriate. So you can certainly take that step and approach your bully, or, you know, just let them know in a very polite, calm manner that, you know, you didn't appreciate what's going on and you would want for it to stop. And in the other way, if someone approached me and told me that I was out of line and I made them feel a certain way, I will definitely consider that, because the last thing I want to do is to make somebody feel uncomfortable around me or feel a certain way that it's going to harm them or just belittle someone. So I will take what you're telling me into account so that I can watch myself closely and change my behavior towards that individual.
Mm-hmm. How should you, in your opinion, Donald, should you address someone short of taking them behind the woodshed at the office if you believe that they are bullying you?
Like I said, it's a case-by-case situation. And by that, I mean even probably a person-by-person assessment. In my litigation, I'm also what I call is maybe a social anthropologist. I mean, I study behavior. I want to know where a person went to school. What's making this person tick? You know, are they married? How long they've been on jobs? Things that you need to know about a person. Then you make an assessment about whether you should talk to that person. Quite frankly, I don't think that those conversations hurt at a certain point in time. They have to be very carefully measured. But before you do that, I would still say that you do a little bit of homework, and you do a little bit of homework in the company on the soft side. And it might be a peer, because a peer may, who's been there longer than you, can tell you, well, this is probably not going to work, or it's going to work. And then you go to your chess game in terms of the moves that you have to make.
Because in the example of being a social anthropologist and the kind of trying to figure out what may be causing this, this may be a new thing. That person may be going through a divorce. That person may have a family illness. That person may have an illness perhaps of their own. They may be having all kinds of things that may be causing stress factors.
But not only that, that's a good point, Harold, is because this is the world is turning. People have issues. But communication can go a long ways, because if you find out and you say, hey, listen, boom, 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 you find out a person's going through a divorce, maybe you just went through a divorce, or maybe your kid is, or your husband just had a stroke, or whatever have you, the world of issues, and you say, well, listen, man, you know, if I could be supportive, mm-hmm. and maybe people, a lot of times, people are just reaching out for attention or to meet some insecurity that they have. And so when you come and you say, and I tell my own clients that same thing I'm saying here is, you know, because we don't want to have the world explode in our lives for 20 years or 10 years because of some stupid personal relationship.
Mm-hmm. And the other piece that I mentioned to Dr. Payton just now, what if somebody comes to you and says, well, they feel that you may be bullying them. If you're not, the Wicked Witch of the West, how should, what kind of questions should you be asking of that person to improve the relationship and the workplace culture if you are accused?
I think the converse of what I just said, the communication is still very basic. The first thing I would do in that situation is I would make a self-assessment, and I would check out within my work environment whether other people share that particular sentiment. And then I would also look at how the communication history with that particular individual. And then I would do what I would recommend an employee do. I would go and I would say, listen, let's go have a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, what's up? I'm straight line. You know what I mean? If we got a problem, I need to know. I like to put the fire out, because my objective, and I say this across the board, is always having the best mind. Making a better mousetrap, so to speak. And the world has too many problems. Corporations have too many problems. Governments have way too many problems in terms of inefficiencies and all kinds of dynamics that it doesn't benefit me to be managing someone and I don't have a productive, meaningful relationship. And that productivity necessarily, both on both sides, takes into consideration the professional side. And damn, it's your birthday. You know what I mean?
How about that?
Hey, somebody died. You know what I mean? That type of sensitivity.
Dr. Payton, I've got a minute. I'll let you have the last word.
Yes, I agree with what Mr. Donald just mentioned, more so with the people have issues aspect. You know, most times I'm asked, you know, well, why do people bully other people? And that comes from, most times it comes from what they're experiencing in their environment, whether it's personally or professionally. But sometimes someone who is bullying another person is feeling some sort of lack of control in their environment or in their situation. They may be going through, like you said, a divorce or some sort of, they're grieving or in some sort of way or whatever have you. It could be a chaos going on in their life. And in that aspect, they bring that to the workplace or they'll take it out on an individual. So most times where you see someone who is bullying an individual, it's not necessarily the victim who is the problem. It's just a reflection of what's going on with that person internally.
Hmm. I think that's a good place to end this conversation. I want to thank both of you, Dr. Mildred Payton and Attorney Donald Temple, for talking to us, and hopefully we'll help someone improve their work environment.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, June 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.